As you all know, the second Sunday of the month is Ministry of the Members, and it is just exactly what it says. I won't read the Book of Orders section in your bulletin this morning, but as the choir gets around to their seats, let me tell you how important each one of you are now. And you're aware of this, but when I was first selected to serve on the session of this church quite a number of years ago, I was quite proud of that selection, but I was a little bit intimidated when I went to the first meeting. I was one of 15 stern men, or at least the other 14 were pretty stern, some of them in coats and ties, and I was by far the youngest, maybe 10 or 15 years younger than the next youngest member of the session. There was a moderator, there was a clerk, and there were 15 members, so there were more people on the session at that time that are present in the sanctuary this morning. But we all recognize the difficulties and the problems of small and shrinking churches, and we all take on an additional responsibility to use our time, talents, and abilities to further the ends of the First Presbyterian Church in Guymon, Oklahoma. The March session meeting, which I will report on to you in some detail this morning, was called to order shortly after 5:30 p.m. on Thursday, March 6th, this past Thursday. And outside, we were aware of what I call the bricks and mortar mission, things that we do from this church, based from this church on 7th and Roosevelt. We could hear the sounds of a basketball bouncing outside. If you go out on the west side of the church as you leave this morning, take a look at our basketball goal, because it's had some heavy use as the weather has warmed up, and there's a group of neighborhood kids that were playing there on Wednesday night, and Becky sent out a tray of brownies from our soup supper, and they liked those, and they were back on Thursday night playing basketball at our goal. And I also had reports that on the other side of the church, on our east side of the church, the little free pantry was completely empty the other day, so it's getting increasing use from the community and the neighborhood. Those in attendance at the Thursday meeting were Deborah Hedrick, Charity Hitch, myself, Eddie Singletary, who's not presently on the session, and Becky, who is a member of the pastor nominating committee and was present for that reason. I will tell you at this time, so I don't forget it, that Rex Hale is expecting that he will be in Oklahoma City with Mima for an extended period of time. I understand that he's taken an apartment across the street from her rehab facility, and he would like to be replaced on the session. So if you are inclined to think that you might want to join us on the session, please give that some prayerful consideration. The nominating committee has got to call on somebody to take Rex's spot, and if you would like to do that, give that some thought. By the way, basketball in a gym supervised by adults or coached by adults pales in comparison to the fun that you have when you're playing out here on the playground, and I always liked those days. A couple of weeks ago, I saw those guys, and I went out and called for them to pass the ball to me, and my first shot wasn't an air ball, but it was close. It just barely nicked the rim, and they had a pan of dirt, which they were pretending to be a pizza, and they said, "Hey, you need another slice." But they're enjoying our basketball goal. Our moderator for our session meeting on Thursday evening was Andrew Long. You all may be familiar with the Reverend, now Dr. Andrew Philip Long of the First Presbyterian Church of Enid, Oklahoma. Charity brings her personal computer and opens it and calls Reverend Long, and he moderates our session meeting over Skype from his office in Enid. And he strikes me as not only a good moderator, but somebody who might be a good model for the pastor that we seek for our church. He's 34 years old now. He'll be 35 on October 27th. I tell you all of this because he has recently written his dissertation and defended it at the Louisville Theological Seminary, and he'll receive his doctorate degree in May, and then he'll be on sabbatical for a period of 2 months. But as you might guess, he's excited about that. He's passionate and committed about his ministry in Enid, and that enthusiasm kind of rubs off on you. He's originally a native of Falston, Maryland, in Baltimore County. I think he was kind of shocked when he first visited Enid. But he's not only gotten used to Enid, he has married a woman named Catherine, who is an Austin College graduate, the same school that Coulter Hedrick graduated from, and they have two little children now, William and Wendy, and we saw William running in and out, peeking from behind his father's chair at the meeting the other night. He seems a good model for the pastor that we are looking for. And I was going to read just a bit of a news article from the Enid newspaper about when they hired him. They had a split in the church at Enid. They hired him to be a healer and to be there to do that sort of work. It says, a few months ago, Enid's Presbyterian Church went through a painful split with more than 100 parishioners voting to leave the church, and later the pastor also left. This was in November of 2012. On Sunday, the church installed Reverend Andrew Long, the man the congregation hopes will be its leader and healer for many years, and he's been there now for 8 years. Long moved to Enid in August. He said the first few times he visited, the temperature rose to more than 100 degrees. He says, I'm originally from Baltimore. We have a lot of humidity, but it does not get that hot. Among the things that stood out to him include how in touch everyone is with their family heritage and their roots. And he said that people in Enid are very rooted in their history, understand who their families are. You don't see that on the East Coast as much because they move a lot. And it's a long article, but basically in praise of this young man who was just 27 years old at the time and has now been there for a period of 8 years. I hope we're as fortunate. He was also able to give us some insight into what a young minister looks for, which primarily, as you might imagine, is a salary that's going to allow him to pay off some student debt and also be able to live comfortably in the community in which he is going to be a pastor. I've mentioned that Rex wants to be excused and we'll need someone to replace him on the session. Deborah Hedrick reported that communion was observed on January the 12th, 2020, with 43 people present, and on February 2nd with 43 people present, and on Ash Wednesday, February 26, 2020, with 28 people present. Andrew Long asked that each time we meet, we open our session meeting by featuring our congregational goals for 2020, which are a $10,000 monthly income. By the way, Eddie was there and reported, and I'll speak for him, but he's here this morning if you have any questions. For the first 2 months of 2020, we have about a $7,000 surplus, $7,000 more income than expense. There are some factors that we are all aware of that make that possible, and that is we're not paying the expense of a minister's salary. We have a $1,200 rental payment coming in each month from the manse. Sandra Gibbs is still our tenant over there, I believe. And then we've also received for the first 2 months basically a $2,000 gift from the Mary Beth Wilson Trust, which is administered down in Texas. We didn't receive that distribution last year, and Eddie speculates, and I think he's right, that probably they failed to make that distribution last year, so they've doubled up and made two this year. In any event, financially, we've got $7,000 more than we had in the bank in December. We're also, our goal is an average Sunday attendance of 50 people, a new roof for the church, which I'll talk about in just a minute, and a new pastor, which I'll call on Becky to talk about. The session also heard a letter from the clerk of the Cimarron Presbytery. Many of you may have met Deb Meinke from Stillwater, and we're certainly glad to have Dakota and Hope Plum coming to our church from the Stillwater First Presbyterian Church. But Deb Meinke of Stillwater is retiring, moving to Kansas City to be closer to her daughter, and wrote a nice letter to our session. The session also approved the 2019 statistical report. I hadn't looked at that as of the time that I prepared for this, but I've got it in my notes here, and I believe we have 93 members on that report. We pay a per capita on those members, which I'll talk about in just a moment. Then I gave a mission report. I want to speak just a minute about the GHS soccer dinner, which is coming up. Let me look at the date. We recognize and honor both the boys and the girls soccer team. That dinner is set for April the 2nd. We coordinate that with Coach Michelle Davis. That had its origins back in, I think, 2006 or 2007. Cimarron Presbytery came to us and they said, you need to engage in more outreach to have contact with the growing Hispanic community in Guymon. And we decided that one way to do that, at that time, Coulter Hedrick, I believe, was on the soccer team, The soccer team at the high school was dominated by good Hispanic players, so we decided to have a soccer appreciation banquet. It was kind of modeled on what Edwin Modrick did at the Apostolic Faith Church when they built their new church out on Lelia in the late 1970s. And that initial year, we invited the boys, both the men's and women's soccer team from the high school, and they've been relatively successful. We invited them to come to dinner. We have lasagna, we have bread and all of the trimmings for them at that particular dinner. Always plenty of help in the kitchen. They appreciate that, like that. And we've done that each year since that time. And we'll do it again on April the 2nd. So if you're inclined to help with that dinner, contact Deb and make arrangements to do that. Charity and Deb reported on the father-daughter dance. If you haven't already heard about that, Charity's not here to report on it this morning. That's a lot of work. But I believe that John Blades, who's here, attended with a young lady that wouldn't have otherwise been able to go that particular night. But there were three couples from our Presbyterian church, but 114 people total. So that reaches a lot of people in the community. It's really good for a lot of dads who are looking for an opportunity to do something like that with their daughter. And certainly Charity is the main mover and organizer of that. Now, in the major development of the session meeting, we voted to accept a $61,000 bid from A&I Roofing of Guymon, a man named Silverio Ochoa, to replace the roof on the church with a metal roof. His was the only bid, but Bob Fagin, myself, Becky, we've met with him once at the church. He's been up on the roof before making a fairly detailed bid and estimate. I don't know anything about roofing, but I wanted to assure myself that he wasn't biting off more than he could chew or wasn't too optimistic about that particular bid. He seems to, he has all of the insurance, the bonding, the workman's comp. He has experience in doing this, and he seems to be confident that he knows what he's doing in both the presentation of that $61,000 bid and in the work, which he thinks will take about 3 weeks. So we voted to do that. Becky contacted him on the day after. He was pleased to get that news. We haven't signed any contract or anything, but we also included in that motion to approve the bid a motion that we start the fundraising that'll be necessary to complete that payment of the roof. We've got about $21,000 of that $61,000. I read before, and I'll read again this morning. Well, actually, I won't. I read before the Flat Roof Blues, which Marianne gave me. It was written by Jim when we had roofing problems before. He wrote a sequel called The Just Like Flat Roof Blues. At the Presbyterian Church, they sang the same refrain. With all the leaks in the roof, nobody prayed for any rain. They were running low on buckets, they were running high on pain. The drips kept falling, man, you should have seen the stain. Along came a man, he was Jack the Commander Hire, with his plans and his blueprints, the people he did inspire. I guess you could say his idea kind of lit the fire, and when funds were getting low, he even became a chicken fryer. Now he needed some workers, and he picked the best in the fold. They had one thing in common, they were all pretty old. They had two things in common. They all did just what they were told. They had three things in common. They were all as good as gold. Now the rift's sealed up tight and the rain's got no way to come in and the floors are dry, and in this battle it looks like we win. And thanks to the people so generous with the contribution, now the preacher can get back to his job talking about sin. So that was Jim's take on it. I read that to emphasize to you that we'll need to do some fundraising. We're going to contact people that have connections with this church that don't live here anymore but are concerned about its continued existence and may want to contribute to our efforts to put a new roof on the building. We also discussed another need, bricks and mortar need, as spring quickly approaches. The session once again took up the problem of the air conditioning in the parlor and the nursery. The unit that cools the parlor and the nursery has been out since last fall, but we haven't needed to bother with it this winter. We have a bid from AirPro, that's Mr. Medina, to replace the entire unit, which is on the roof at the north end of this building, with a brand new one at a cost of around $10,000, which everybody thought was too high last fall, is one of the reasons we haven't addressed that. The session voted to ask Guyman Heat and Air and Brian Shattuck to take a look at the problem and propose a solution and an estimated cost if they will. And I don't know that anybody's asked them yet, but that will be done soon. Enough from me for the moment. Becky is on the pastor nominating committee. They have completed the form that has to be sent in before we can get a list of candidates. They also, the session voted on a mission statement and a proposed salary range, which Pastor Andrew Long was able to give us some insight into. So I'll call on Becky to come forward.
The pastor nominating committee, as most of you know, consists of myself, Charity, and Coulter. And we're meeting on Wednesday mornings at 8:30. And we've worked on the PIF, which is the MIF. There's a PIF and there's an MIF. The MIF is the ministry information form, and that's what the church fills out. So some interesting things in it that you might want to know is we did vote, we submitted the mission statements that had been proposed and voted on, and we submitted that to the session, and they voted for this one, which is, we believe, we welcome, we put faith in action, it's what we do. There was also one that was selected that had an equal number of votes, and that was the one that Mary Ann presented, I believe, two Sundays ago. And we decided to call that one the purpose. So we have the mission statement, which is short and quick, but the purpose is longer. And I'll read that to you in a minute because we included that in our statement for the MIF. So that was one thing that we were needing. The other thing that I think that you will be interested in is we have three references. We put Cameron Fisher as one of our references, David Player, who is the pastor at the Methodist Church, and Andrew Long, who is our session moderator. So those three will be included on our references for pastors to check with about it when they are interested. We had to decide an effective minimum salary to put in our MIF, and also an effective maximum salary. And what that does is that helps create the pool of ministers that we will see when we access the Presbyterian PCUSA site. So we decided on the minimum effective salary would be, we decided to use $52,000 as the minimum effective salary. That means that we would include in that $52,000 is the $12,000 for the manse. And on our form, we checked that we would be open to either a manse or a housing allowance. So if the pastor decides he doesn't want to use the manse, we would keep that rented, and we would pay him that $12,000 in cash per year, which would be a housing allowance for him from the church. The other part of that $52,000 is $40,000 cash. And we were thinking we would go with the minimum. But when we talked to Andrew, he said a young pastor is not even going to look at that minimum salary. He's just going to, that's going to be too low. He won't be able to live in Guymon here in the middle of the country for that amount. So boost it up so you can at least get some candidates to look at you. So we decided to do that. That's going to be a big sacrifice for us, and we're going to have to figure out a way to pay that salary. We were paying Linda that amount, or a little bit more, I believe. So it is doable, but it's going to be hard. We're going to have to figure out and work on that. I'd like to read you, we also put the maximum effective salary at $58,000, which would be just $4,000 more. But Andrew, again, I said, well, is that enough of a difference that we'll get, you know, a range? And he said, yes, he thought it would be. So we're just using his advice. He's been through that process 3 years ago. So we figure he kind of is a good one to use, because he knows how that feels on the other side. So I'd like to read you then. They suggest that you answer five questions. What is the congregation's or organization's vision for ministry? And additionally, describe how this vision is lived out. How do you feel called to reach out to address the emerging needs of your community and constituency? How will this position help you reach your vision and mission goals? Provide a description of the characteristics needed by the person who is open to being called to this ministry and congregation. And for what specific tasks and assignments and program areas will this person have responsibility? So Andrew had early on suggested to us that we look at that as questions to guide an essay about our church. So we combined efforts. Charity wrote one, I wrote one, Coulter helped us kind of mix them up together. And then we passed it back and forth to Andrew. I sent it to Andrew and also to Karen. I had that all written down. And she's the minister in Guthrie. She's going to be our liaison, so to speak, to the Committee on Ministry. So I sent it to Karen Rogers and to Andrew Long, and they both sent back a fairly long list of corrections and things that we needed to put and add. So it's a compilation of about five or six people. Deborah also checked it for us and gave suggestions. So here is our essay about you. The First Presbyterian Church of Guymon is a faithful group of Christians who are reaching out to the community of Guymon to witness and care for the many who are living here. Our mission is to spread the word of God, the word of the Lord, in this diverse place where we see much need. We live our faith as a witness, faithful witness to that mission. In the middle of our town, just a few blocks off Main Street, you will see the third and fourth grade school kids grabbing food from the First Presbyterian Church's little free pantry on the way to and from school. On Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, we are the home to the Presbyterian Discovery Academy, which has 24 children in attendance and three different classes, ages 1 through 4. The Discovery Academy is one example of our mission outreach programs. We touch many lives during the week. Sundays, we start off at 9:45 with our children's choir practice with approximately 12 to 16 children each week. Our children bring life and joy each Sunday morning. The congregation loves to watch them during the children's sermon time each Sunday and hear them sing one Sunday a month. The children also participate in a dramatic interpretation of the gospel one Sunday each month. At 10 a.m., the children go to the Sunday school and the adults head to their adult Sunday school class, which is an eclectic group with lots of opinions to share. Our women's group meets once a month for the Horizons Bible study and four times a year for fun and fellowship. On Wednesdays, our congregation is greeted with a Wednesday night soup supper before people head to choir or bell choir. We are dedicated to helping those in need in our community. People know our church is a place of kindness where you can come for help when times are tough. We prepare a dinner once a month for our local homeless shelter. Our members volunteer in the month of October at the local food pantry. In February, we host and sponsor a community father-daughter dance, which brings over 100 people in attendance. In March, we host an appreciation dinner for 80 members of the high school men and women soccer teams. In the summer, we lead Parables in the Park, which is open to all. It is our form of vacation Bible school that's hosted in a local park. Twice a year, we have church service in the park. We look forward to having a partner in these outreach endeavors and someone to help us discern other needs in the ministry of the church. Located in the heart of the Oklahoma Panhandle, Guymon is a town of opportunity. If the United States is a melting pot of the world, then Guymon is the handle on that pot. Guymon is home to numerous immigrants from Eritrea, Ethiopia, Myanmar, Sudan, South Africa, Mexico, Guatemala, Cuba, Puerto Rico, Micronesia, the Philippines, and the Bahamas, with 27 different languages spoken in our schools. Away from the hustle and bustle of the great city life, our nearest city is 2 hours away. A place of peace and reverence where the sunsets are endless and so is the livestock. Guymon is truly an American original. Our community is deeply rooted in agriculture production, which has brought growth and diversity to Guymon over the last 50 years. Like Guymon, First Presbyterian is open to growth and change and guidance in accomplishing our goal to reach out to the many that need the love of Christ in their lives. We value someone who will embrace the uniqueness of our community with fun and excitement, who will help us lovingly care for our congregation from the 2-month-old to the 95-year-old, who can guide our session and staff, someone who will minister to the church members and the community. We are ministering to each other as best we can, but it will be so nice to have a leader to help in those times of spiritual and emotional need. We have a good number of children coming into the junior high and high school ages, and we would value pastoral guidance in developing a youth program for that age. Our mission is to spread the word of the Lord by our faithful witness. So that's our essay. And we would welcome any thoughts or things that we might have left out, things that you'd like to see in that. We are planning to submit that this coming week. The session has approved it with whatever minor changes we might need to make to it. Deborah has to sign it. The committee has to finally approve it. All of us need to read it carefully and make sure it sounds what we want it to sound. And then it needs to be sent to the Committee on Ministry in the presbytery, and they, once they approve it, then they'll upload it to the Presbyterian website and give us a code, and we can start looking. They'll start matching us with ministers who are available and looking. So that's my report.